Hare nama eva kevalam. Kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva. Gatir anyata. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar. Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This evening, I would like to read and comment from the great Vedic scripture Mahabharata. I will take you back 5,000 years ago to the capital of the Kuru or Kaurava dynasty, Hastinapur. And this is just before the war. Krishna was coming from Virat. That is where the Pandavas spent their last year of exile. That final year, they had to remain incognito. So the five Pandavas and Draupadi took up very menial, humble posts in the kingdom of Virat. So, when the 13 years of exile was over, the Pandavas were to reclaim their kingdom, at least half. But Duryodhan, he did not want to give back the kingdom to the Pandavas. So it seemed like war was the only solution. But Krishna went and spoke, making a final attempt at a peaceful solution. So I'd like to read to you what Krishna said in that assembly. In the hall, the assembled Kuru elders waited with anticipation. As they heard Krishna's chariot approach, the hall buzzed. And as Krishna dismounted from his chariot, shouts of "Hail to Govinda!" and "All glories to Krishna, Lord of the Yadavas!" rang out. Krishna caught hold of both Vidura and Satyaki's hands on either side of him and walked into the hall. Dhritarashtra rose along with Bhishma, Drona, Kripa and others. Crossing the floor, Krishna greeted Dhritarashtra respectfully. The king offered him a beautiful throne encrusted with jewels. And with his divine vision, Krishna saw numerous celestial rishis approaching the assembly from the sky. Krishna said, "Many rishis, hoping to witness what will happen here today, have assembled. See, there is Narada Muni. Offer them suitable seats, for how can any of us sit down while they remain standing?" So here is a point to be emphasized. We learn from the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, whatever a great man does, the common, ordinary person will follow that example. Throughout Krishna's life, if you read the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna was in Dwaraka, he followed all the Vedic principles. When he was visited by Narada, he showed the proper etiquette. When Krishna was visited by Sudama, he showed the proper etiquette of how to receive saintly persons. So here again, Krishna is pointing out to the assembly that when there is a saintly person that they should be given preference and priority. Dhritarashtra ordered his servants to fetch golden seats. The rishis entered the hall like glowing planets descended from the heavens and accepted the seats. After they had been worshipped with all respect, Krishna accepted his own seat and was in turn worshipped by the Kurus. Vidura sat next to Krishna on a seat covered with white deerskin and decked with gems. Opposite Krishna, Duryodhan and Karna sat together on a single throne. As the monarchs took their places, the brahmanas recited Vedic hymns to invoke an auspicious atmosphere, just like a few minutes ago, the pujari was chanting various mantras, creating a very auspicious atmosphere. Gradually everyone fell silent and gazed at Krishna. And I hope you're all gazing at Krishna right now. Yes. Krishna was seated on his throne. He looked like a dark gem set in gold. There was a perfect stillness in the hall as everyone waited for him to speak. Krishna looked toward Dhritarashtra and said, "May there be peace between the Kurus and the Pandavas, O Bharat. May no heroes be slain on either side. Only for this have I come. O King, I have nothing more to say." Hearing Krishna speak reminded the assembly of the soft thunder of autumnal rain clouds. All eyes remained fixed upon him. This description here, that when Krishna spoke, that it was like the soft thunder of autumnal rain clouds, this description appears many times in the Srimad Bhagavatam, either when Krishna speaks or Narayan, you will see this same description is given by Shukadeva Goswami, or in this case, Vyasadeva in compiling this Mahabharat. O King, you know as well as I do the cause for the present situation. Peace lies in your hands. You have a great responsibility. Your dynasty is famed for its virtue and nobility. The Kurus are especially known for their knowledge of scripture, good behavior, kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and truthfulness. Do not allow your fine heritage to be sullied. So here, Krishna is pointing out what are the best qualities for a Kshatriya. All these things Krishna has pointed out, these are important requisites if one wants to be known as a pious king, or even better, Rajarshi, a king on the level of a saint, like the Pandavas were. The Pandavas were like that. Powerful kings, warriors, but at the same time had the consciousness of a saintly person. You are the Kuru's leader and must bear the reaction to any sinful acts they perform. So here we see what it is to be a king is a most responsible position. It's not to be taken lightly. With it comes heavy responsibilities. A calamity now faces your race, caused by the Kuru's behavior. If you do not check it, O monarch, it will destroy the world. So Krishna is putting everything on Dhritarashtra. Krishna is putting the blame And notice what he says. It will destroy the world. Krishna knows what is going to be the outcome. Krishna looked over at Duryodhan. The prince appeared distracted, looking away from Krishna and rubbing his face with a hand covered in gleaming gems. So someone like Duryodhan cannot tolerate the pure speech of someone like Krishna. He's guilty. He's sinful. He cannot stand to hear. There is a description in the Mahabharata that this present age is the age of Kali. The age of Kali is known as the age of quarrel and confusion. It is said in the Mahabharata, Duryodhan is the personification of Kali. So, now you have a way to look at this present age. An age where people behave like this Duryodhan. O King, your sons are not considering morality or even profit. They are wicked and overcome by avarice. They are being unfair toward their own friends. I do not think peace would be so difficult to achieve. It depends on you and me. You should give an order and your sons should follow it. The Pandavas never ignore my advice. Set your sons on the path of peace, and I will do the same with the Pandavas. Consider everything carefully, O King. Even if you desire to rule this world, it is still better to establish peace with the Pandavas rather than to make them your enemies. At present, they see you as a worshipable elder. They will wait upon you and protect you, and even the gods will not be able to assail you. You will not find better allies than the Pandavas. With them at your side, you would lead troops headed by Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, Karna, Ashwatthama, Yudhisthira, Bhim, Arjuna, and so many other great heroes. Where is that fool who would fight such warriors? So similar to how Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is giving insight to Dhritarashtra, something that is for his benefit. Krishna's statements here are very sanguine, especially when Krishna told Dhritarashtra, just order your sons. You're the king. You're their father. They have to do what you say. But all along, up until this point, if you read this narration of Mahabharata carefully, Dhritarashtra had so many opportunities to put his son in his place. He had so many opportunities, but he never chastised him. He never stopped him. Even at the birth of Duryodhan, Dhritarashtra was told, abandon this child. He is going to be the cause of the death of your whole dynasty. When Duryodhan was born, unlike when a great personality is born, there are auspicious symptoms. If you read what it was like when Krishna took birth, everything was very nice. The air, even it was the eighth day of the moon appeared full. And there were so many nice symptoms. Everyone felt very peaceful. But when a demon is born, there are inauspicious symptoms. When Duryodhan was born, There were jackasses braying. Fires were coming out of nowhere. There were all these inauspicious symptoms confirming this is an evil person. And Dhritarashtra was told, abandon this child. But nope, he was attached. And all throughout, so many circumstances, all Dhritarashtra had to do was censure, and so much catastrophe could be avoided, but no. He was too attached. And Duryodhan even looked upon his father as weak. Duryodhan practically did whatever he wanted because he knew his father would never check him. That's called being a bad parent. We have an expression, tough love. Sometimes the parent has to chastise the child for the child's own good. Being a parent doesn't mean, oh, let him do whatever he knows. You weren't raised that way, those of you who are like my age. You were not raised that way. If you were raised in India. So, Krishna again is telling Dhritarashtra, just give the order. This whole thing can be avoided. The blind king sat with his head bowed. Krishna's speech was as he had expected, cutting and painfully true. That's a sadhu. Sadhu means heavy, and his words can sometimes cut, but painfully true. Dhritarashtra's throat was parched, and he called for water. As Krishna continued, on the other hand, O king, what profit will there be in fighting with the Pandavas? What merit do you see in arranging for so many men to die? O best of the Bharatas, just imagine what you will feel when you hear of the deaths on both sides. There is no question that both parties will not survive the war. The kings you see here and the kings at Virat will slay each other mercilessly, influenced by anger. Because there has been much abuse all these years, 13, even more than that. There's been much abuse, especially the one that is the most intolerable, the one that Kunti, we heard last night about Kunti, the one that Kunti said, I can forget all this, but I cannot forget how Draupadi was insulted. And that was the big one. So there was much revenge stacked up. So Krishna is right. There's going to be much bloodshed. O Emperor, rescue them from death. Save this world from disaster. Let the feelings of affection you once bore for the Pandavas again flood your heart. Bring them here as your children. According to worldly virtue, such fatherless boys deserve your protection. Yes. Pandu was Dhritarashtra's brother. Pandu died. Dhritarashtra was supposed to take care of the Pandavas equally, and he was told that, but couldn't do it. These boys deserve your protection, especially in their distress. Now, hear their message to you, which they ask me to repeat in the assembly. Now, a little back, Krishna was telling Dhritarashtra that the Pandavas, they're good, they'll do whatever I say. And Krishna also said, don't worry, if you make peace, they will serve you. You notice, after the battle of Kurukshetra, when Dhritarashtra lost all 100 sons, where did Dhritarashtra stay after the war? In the house of Yudhishthira, and Yudhishthira was still calling him the king. And he was still getting served by the Pandavas and Draupadi. That's called exemplary. The very person who was trying in so many ways through his evil son, right? Duryodhan tried so many times, he tried to kill Bhima, and he tried so many ways, he tried through the house of luck. But Yudhishthira, the leader, says no. Now we treat them nicely. Krishna repeated what Yudhishthira had said just before Krishna departed. At your command, O king, we have spent 13 years in exile, expecting that you would keep your word. For a Kshatriya, that is everything. You recall, the whole Ramayana is because Dasharatha kept his word. The whole Ramayana. Why was Ram banished to the forest? Because he had given Kaikeyi the boons, and that fateful day when she said, you have to promise me, and it was three times, you have to promise me that you'll give me my boons, and Dasharatha, not knowing what was going to come, said, yes, yes, yes. And then she lowered, banished Ram to the forest for 14 years, established my son Bharat as king. And then when there was discussion, Kaikeyi said, you gave your word, you promised three times. So for a Kshatriya, keeping the word is everything. And if you read, you'll notice so many rishis and so many people came to Ram and said, look, you don't have to do this, but Ram said no. Repeatedly Ram said, I must keep the word of my father. Same thing when Lord Vamanadev came to Bali Maharaj. Shukracharya, his guru, Bali Maharaj's guru, Shukracharya said, no. Take back this promise. Because this is Vishnu in disguise. He's coming to cheat you. But what did Bali Maharaj said? Nobody in my family ever broke their word. That is very important for a ruler, a king. If he gives his word, that's it. So, same thing here. The idea was they would go for 13 years, and when they came back, they could have their kingdom. Keep your word, as we have carefully kept our pledge. So we ask you to keep yours. We have suffered greatly, and now desire to return to our kingdom. O Bharata, you know the principles of virtue. Act toward us as a father should act toward his sons. We will act as your sons. Just see what Yudhishthira is saying. Yudhishthira is saying he will be, a son is supposed to be what? Obedient to the father. That's a son, obedient. Even Prabhupada used to say, obedience is the first commandment of love. If I'm not obedient, then I can't use this word love. Obedience is the first item before I can say I love you. So here Yudhishthira is telling Dhritarashtra through the mouth of Krishna, we will be your sons. You are our worshipable elder. If you find us remiss in our duties, do not hesitate to correct us, O king. Set us on the proper course, and you yourself follow the excellent path of virtue. But Dhritarashtra shifted uncomfortably. His guilt at having mistreated Pandu's sons bothered him more than anything else. They had been brought to him as young children after their father, his own brother, had died. It was true that he should treat them no differently than his own sons. This was surely his greatest sin. And he had neglected and even inflicted suffering on those deserving his protection. Tears fell from his blind eyes as Krishna continued to speak. In an assembly where virtue is overcome by vice, it is the duty of the members of that assembly to remove it by all means. If vice is not removed, then it will kill all those who have participated in it. If vice prevails over virtue, falsehood over truth, then those who allow it will be ruined. I find this statement by Krishna to be very, very significant. It's applicable for all of us, whether it be in our family, or in the temple board. We should pay warning here. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. This is the same person who we read Bhagavad Gita. It's not a different Krishna. So notice what he's saying. In an assembly where virtue is overcome by vice, we have to be very, very careful. What else could you do but return the Pandava's kingdom? I desire both your good and what is best for the Pandavas. Yes, Krishna, we see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I'm not partial to anyone. I'm equal. Last night, I gave the example of the sun. Today was a nice sunny day, same as yesterday. The sun doesn't discriminate. Okay, I'm only going to shine on the Americans. I'm not going to shine on the Hindus. Does the sun do that? No. The sun is there for everyone. The sun doesn't say, oh, this is a bad person. I won't shine on... No. The sun shines on the good and the bad. Krishna's the same way. His mercy is there for everyone. I also made the point last night, people want Ashirvad, but what they don't know, Krishna is giving his Ashirvad, and it's always available by means of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. If you want Krishna's Ashirvad, just chant. But what's my problem? Can't, can't, can't. I have nobody to blame but myself if I don't take Krishna's Ashirvad, which is so available. Just like people want to come to the temple, right? And there's experience. People come. Oh, temple closed. That has to be. That has to be. But people have that experience. They come. The temple is closed. But that's all right. If you just chant the Maha Mantra, Krishna is readily available 24/7, 365. But who believes? That's the question. Who believes? I desire both your good and what is best for the Pandavas. If my words are true, then let the Kurus confirm them and release the Kshatriya race from the shackles of death. Make the large-minded, virtuous Yudhisthira your ally. Do not destroy these kings for the sake of vice. Do not destroy morality for the sake of so-called happiness. Do not mistake good for evil and evil for good. We learn this in the Bhagavad Gita. Shri Shri Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki Jai. In the chapter of the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the demon is someone who takes religion to be irreligion and takes irreligion to be religion. Just the opposite. So Krishna is saying a similar thing here. And this happens to all of us from time to time. We make that mistake. O Lord of the earth, restrain your sons who are too attached to avarice. Kunti's sons are ready to serve. Again, look at Krishna. Kunti's sons are ready to serve you. This is what Krishna is telling Dhritarashtra. They are here to serve you and to fight for you. This is my advice. Choose now that course which appears best to you, O King. So this is like a precursor of Bhagavad Gita. Same thing Krishna tells Arjuna. You'll see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna presents both sides. If you do like this, you'll get this result. Okay, you don't want... If you do like this, you're going to get this result. At the end, yateshasi tata kuru. This is what I love about Krishna. I love all religions have a way of explaining God. All religions have their attempt at explaining God. Why did I leave the God of the Christian view for the God of the Hindu view? Here's one reason. Because Krishna says, I have explained everything. Now, do as you see fit. I like this about Krishna. He treats you with respect. He's not the kind of God we get sometimes see. Do what I say, I'll go to hell or I'll kill you. No. This is an intelligent representation of God. This is a sophisticated presentation of God. This is one reason among millions why I follow this path. Where Krishna is saying, I've told you everything, I leave it up to you. I even sometimes sing a song. It's up to you what you wanna do. That's life. That is life in a nutshell. Every one of us, day after day after day, moment for moment, choice. Choices are there. You're driving your car. Here in California, we got 3-4 lane highways. Choose your lane. Choose your lane. Next month, when I come back next month, I'm going to do a class on one verse of the Bhagavad Gita. The verse is Yantra Ruhani Mayaya. That the soul is seated as on a machine made of material energy. So I'm going to give a whole class on how life is just like driving your car. I've done it once before, but now I'm going to do it in more detail. So don't miss next month's lecture. You'll be in for a surprise. I'm thinking about all the different... I don't want to give it away. Got to come back next month. So Krishna has spoken. Vyasadeva says, everyone remained silenced. Having listened carefully to Krishna, the kings were speechless. No one could argue with anything he said. What do you know? When it comes to speaking, who can beat Krishna? He's the best. As it says here, nobody could argue. Only, now who do you think found fault with Krishna? Only who? Duryodhan found fault with Krishna. And he looked at Krishna with a sly smile. Do you want to hear more about you? Okay, hey. I know, because I see your name
on the webcast. You've expanded yourself.
He's home and he's here at the same time. Madan says, very clear picture and great broadcast. Thank you, Madan. All right. So let's see now. Okay. So here, Duryodhan. Duryodhan was breathing heavily. His brow contracted. He gazed at Karna and laughed aloud. Slapping his thigh, he said defiantly, I am whatever God has made me. It is He who created me and He who decides my fate. I will do exactly as He has determined and nothing else. What use is this discussion? So, this particular sequence is after Krishna's speech. More happens. But I want to speak on this. Because what Duryodhan is saying sounds plausible. Keep in mind, it sounds. And believe it or not, I hear this philosophy many times. I travel all last week I was in Panama and Chile, and I've heard this argument many times in my preaching over the past 20 years or so. Notice what Duryodhan is saying. I am whatever God has made me. It is He who has created me, and He decides my fate. Sounds right. Not really. And then he says, I will do exactly as He has determined and nothing else. What Duryodhan doesn't know, and we just mentioned it, Duryodhan, so if I was there in front of Duryodhan, this is what I would say to Duryodhan. Sir, you're forgetting something. You have free will. Even though we all know your destiny is written in your palm or on your forehead, right? But that doesn't negate the fact that you have free will. And you create your destiny by the choices you make. See, some people think, well, I'm destined for this, nothing I can do about it. No. Especially something like this. Otherwise, why is Krishna coming and speaking to the assembly? Why, if everything is destiny, then why do we spend so much money sending our kids to the best college? Just, you know, if he's meant to go to college, he's meant to go to college. You don't act like that. No. Life means choices, decisions. Now, once you make the decision, there's a certain reaction that comes about. But Duryodhan could have changed. There's one incident prior to this when Duryodhan is defeated, captured, and he's given over to the Pandavas. And for the life of me, when I read this, I went, what? Yudhishthira says, let him go. Yudhishthira, come on! He attacked. I think it was a Gandharva captured him on behalf of the Pandavas. The Gandharva says, okay, here's Duryodhana. What do you want to do with him? And what does Yudhishthira say? The guy's too good. Let him go. But that's Yudhishthira. He's always doing the super right. After all, who is he the son of? Dharmaraj. He cannot help but do the right thing. So after that, what does Duryodhan tell everybody? That's it. I've been humiliated. I've been defeated. You go back. You be in Hastinapur. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to do austerities. I'm going to give up my life. Too bad it didn't work out that way. But he had made that choice. But then you can say, but Prabhu, then he had his destiny. The Danavas came in the dream, took him and showed him, you will win. But they were not correct. But what Duryodhan is saying here is incorrect. It is not hopeless. You do have the ability to change your destiny. Otherwise, why are we worshipping Krishna? Or some of you, right? Some of you are going to astrologers and getting rings to counteract the different planets, right? Some of you, I know, some of you are spending lots of money consulting an astrologer. What should I do with this planet now and this and that? Because what are you trying to do? You're trying to change your destiny. And those who follow the bhakti path know that if I simply surrender to Krishna and I execute devotional service, all this changes. There is a powerful statement in the Brahma Sanhita. What does the Brahma Sanhita say? When you surrender to Krishna, when you become a true bhakti yogi, what happens to your karma? It gets shrunk. Just like, say you have a debt. Say you have a big debt. So, somebody, probably won't happen, but somebody could say, you know what? I like you. I'll take your debt. Wow. Or what happened a few years ago? What did we do? I'm talking about American people. What did we do? We bailed out who? The banks. The banks. First it was the banks. General Motors paid back though, I think. Right. But the banks, right? When Bush, that's just before the end of his term. The first bailout, right? Okay. So, when you become surrendered devotee of Krishna, your karmic bank account, you get bailed out. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? If you surrender unto me, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. That's why I say Krishna is the ultimate bailout program. But of course, who believes Krishna? I believe Krishna. Do you believe Krishna? That's up to you. I believe Krishna. That's why I do what I do. That's why I'm sitting here. I did that back in 1973. Because Prabhupada was saying, give this life to Krishna, your karma will be shrunk down. How is that? I was supposed to, by my karma, by my destiny, Duryodhan, I was supposed to get my head chopped off. But instead, when I'm shaving, oop, I nick myself. I was supposed to, by my karma, get my legs chopped off. Instead, in the temple, somebody steps on my foot by accident. That's what we're talking about. You get a token. Instead of getting beat up, Krishna's like that, a love tap. That's what happens to your karma when you surrender to Krishna. That's the bhakti path. Surrender to Krishna. So Duryodhan, it is not like you're saying. Yes, Duryodhan, you have a nature. We all have a nature. That's another question I get. When we surrender to Krishna, you still have your nature, but it becomes nicer. You become purified. Like, look at the Pandavas. Yudhishthira had one nature. Bhima's nature was completely different. But both of them are great examples of devotees. Arjuna had a different nature. Not everybody, every one of us has a unique nature. Otherwise, if we were all the same, we'd be pretty boring. Everybody has a nature. Rambai has kind of nature. Manohar has a nature. Kakani has a nature. Everybody has their own nature. When you surrender to Krishna, that nature becomes spiritualized. That nature becomes purified. Anyone, none of you know, but if anybody knew me back in 1972, before I joined Krishna consciousness, I'm still the same person, but now, whatever nature and proclivities and talents I had, instead of using it in the service of illusion, I'm using those in the service of Krishna. That's the bhakti path. And Krishna even says in the Bhagavad Gita, what can repression accomplish? So you take your nature and choose the right course. Instead of choosing the wrong course, choose the right course of action and be benefited. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, thank you very much, Radha Marman Temple, for allowing me to speak. And as I said, next month, you will hear the class on how life is like an automobile. Thank you very much.